We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ashamed of the gospel and Christ, the Son of God? When the Apostle Paul established the theme of his letter to the Romans, he used these words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, But the righteous shall live by faith." Romans 1:16-17. As the apostle wrote these words, he was hoping to visit Rome for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Paul had already preached the message of Christ to many of the great political and religious centers of the world. Now he looks forward to the proposed visit to the capital of the mighty Roman Empire, the imperial city itself. And he wants his brethren to know that he would not be ashamed of the gospel in their renowned city. The words of the venerable apostle should be a great inspiration to us today. The same assurance and stability in the faith which characterized Paul should be prominent among Christians in every century. The gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation in this and every other generation, and each child of God should feel a rich pride and joy in sharing good news of Jesus with others. My friends, are you ashamed of Jesus and His gospel? Do you count it good news that the Son of God died in your place? This good news, or glad tidings concerning Christ, has reference to what is done by Christ and through Christ for the salvation of the lost man. All mankind has sinned against God and deserves to be punished. Before Jesus came, the world was in a lost and ruined condition. But in the fullness of time, God offered love, mercy, and pardon to all who would accept it. This is the good news. This is the glad tidings of hope. There are some very basic reasons why no person should ever be ashamed of Christ and His gospel. Let us look at this matter from an individual point of view. And again I ask, are you ashamed of Christ, whom the gospel proclaims to be the eternal Son of God? I say to you that I am not ashamed to confess that I believe that Christ is the eternal Son of God. It may not be a popular idea with many today, especially those of great sophistication and worldly wisdom, yet this is the claim which Christ made for Himself, and which was made for Him by the writers of the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made." John 1 and the first three verses. Then in verse 14, the writer declares, "And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." On one occasion, the disciples of Christ affirmed in His presence, "Now know we that Thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should seek Thee. But this we believe, that Thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may have peace." John 16:30-33. Then in the first three verses of chapter 17, Jesus continued saying, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee, even as Thou gavest Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom Thou hast given Him He should give eternal life. And this is the life eternal, that they should know Thee, the only true God, and Him whom Thou didst send, even Jesus Christ." Beloved, are you ashamed of these bold statements? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? May I ask, are you ashamed to confess your faith in the virgin birth of Christ? There are some, even among our foremost religious dignitaries and preachers, who call the virgin birth a crude, semi-pagan story. Beloved, you cannot say that and still believe the Bible. Hear the Word of God on this point. Are you listening? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared, saying, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:18-21. The account of the virgin birth is neither crude nor paganistic. It is from God, and you and I should never be ashamed to believe it. Are you ashamed to confess faith in the miracles which Christ performed on this earth? In John 5:36, Jesus declared, "But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." The same writer, the Apostle John, later affirmed, "Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." John 20:30-31. While there are many who will not admit that Jesus actually performed miracles, it is noteworthy that those who saw his sign did not deny them. And this was true even those who did not believe in the divinity of Christ. On one occasion, when the Apostle Peter and John had worked an outstanding miracle, having healed a man who had been lame from his birth, the authorities commented, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been wrought through them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Acts 4:16. Not only are many ashamed of the miracle stories found in the New Testament, they are especially ashamed to admit that they need a Savior. Mankind does not like to admit the need of a sacrifice, a sin offering, and yet it is the only way through which man may have the hope of eternal life, through the loving sacrifice on the part of Christ and his triumphant resurrection from the dead. Salvation is available to the world. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ constitute the very heart of the gospel. The Bible reveals, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. If you really believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be ashamed of his sufferings on your behalf. In his statement of the theme to the Romans, Paul did not just say that he was not ashamed of Christ, but rather, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There are many who regard Christ as a great teacher, as a famous historical figure, but they reject his gospel message. They say they have a belief in Jesus as a person, yet they see no need of the commands of his gospel found in the New Testament. But what is the gospel? It is the New Testament message of forgiveness of sins through faith in the crucified Savior. Christ and the gospel are inseparable. You cannot distinguish between the man and the plan when it comes to the saving faith that leads one to Christ. Hear the word of God. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over the sins done aforetime, in the forbearance of God, for the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus." Romans 3:23-26. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ashamed of the remedy which the gospel offers for the sins of the world? Are you ashamed of the blood of Christ? Concerning this gospel story and its power, Paul the inspired apostle declared, "For therein," that is in the gospel, "is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Romans 1:17. Are you ashamed of the very thing that reveals to man the righteousness of God? While it is true that many today would delete the blood from their religion, that is, the blood of Christ, even were removing from their songbooks and hymn books those verses that speak of the blood and the cross of Calvary, yet our only hope of salvation remains in the sin offering of Christ by the grace of God. Paul spoke of the Lord, saying, "We have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." Ephesians 1, verse 7. Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? You and I must come into contact with the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And the Bible alone can assure us of the cleansing blood for the obedience to the gospel whereby we might be saved. At what point, you might ask, do we come into contact with the saving blood? Let the Bible answer. This is what the Bible says. All we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Obviously, the blood of Jesus was shed in His death, and the apostle declares in this text that we're baptized into His death, where one received the benefits of the blood. Notice that the Bible reveals that one contacts the blood shed in the death of Christ when he obeys the gospel. Specifically, as stated, when a person is baptized into Christ, into His death, then and there he is raised in the newness of life. This is the new birth. This is being born of water and the Spirit, as Christ emphasized to Nicodemus. The Bible does not teach that one is saved by baptism alone, yet the Word of God does clearly establish that it is at this point that one becomes a child of God. The apostle makes this very clear in Galatians 3:26-27, when he said, "For you're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." What did they become? The Bible says, sons of God. How? How did they become sons of God? The Bible says, by faith. Where did they achieve this goal? Only in Christ, the Bible says. But when, at what point, did they become sons of God by faith? Paul said, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ." It is true that there is no power in water to save the soul by literally washing a man's sins away. It is, as the Apostle Peter explained, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. Are you ashamed of the gospel prescribing the ministry of Christ and His Word to a believing world who might obey God and be saved? The gospel prescription of hearing the Word, believing and repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ as the Son of God, and then putting Him on in baptism, then being raised to walk in the newness of life, my friends, is what the Bible teaches. You cannot be ashamed of the prescription of the great physician without casting reflection upon the physician himself. My friends, the gospel of Christ offers mankind the only remedy for sinfulness, the grace of God manifested in the blood of His only Son, and we should not be ashamed of this gospel plan of salvation. In addition, I say to you that I am not ashamed of the results of the gospel way as manifested in the faithful followers of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms people, transforms them from servants of evil to servants of true righteousness. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the results of the gospel in the lives of the faithful in Rome. He wrote, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Romans 6:17-18. I'm not ashamed of the gospel's hope for the future. Are you? If the gospel of Christ represented a losing cause, instead of the only cause which shall conquer, we would do well to be ashamed of it. But while the kingdoms of this world rise and fall and vanish forever, the Lord's church goes on from age to age and will last through eternity. The gospel of Christ has an invincible power of Almighty God. We're not ashamed of the hope that the gospel gives us for eternity beyond this life. If a man is to be measured only by time and the events of this world, he is but a speck that appears for a moment and then vanishes forever. But when a man is measured by the gospel, by the fact that he has been redeemed by the blood of Christ and called by the gospel to glory, honor, and immortality, then it can be seen that man is of eternal worth. His soul will never die. The wisdom of this world's scholars soon leaves the heart cold and empty, but the gospel of my Lord offers the remedy and the results and hope that I seek. What about you? Are you ashamed of Christ and His gospel? Have you obeyed His gospel? Have you become a servant of righteousness? Remember, Paul declared, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation."